Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I love you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, guys. Nothing like home cooking for the Chicago Cubs, although they finally won that road series for the first time in 3 months. So maybe the arrow is pointed up regardless of where they're playing.
What was the biggest thing that takeaway from last night? Cole Hamels, Craig Kimbrell, or Anthony Rizzo restoring his power surge with two home runs?
Well, I think the Rizzo thing was the most important thing. And, you know, regardless of the outcome on a daily basis, Rizzo helps you so much on defense. Even though he's won gold gloves and platinum gloves, he is you know, one of the best first basemen and underrated in that area. But nonetheless, two home runs after just hitting two home runs in the prior 50 games, I thought that was big, you know. So the idea that he's got four now in the last five games, that's a big deal for the middle of the lineup there. And with the way Castellanos has been kind of carrying the offense, you know, since he showed up, having help there and other guys getting hot, I think that's a key with Rizzo.
Is there anything that he's doing differently that would explain this? I mean, you know, obviously he's seeing the ball very well right now, but that's what is that the sixth straight year he's got 25 homers? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he became one of just seven guys in their history to be able to accomplish that. So he's been one of the most consistent guys ever for the Cubs. And, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to have that spectacular year where he hits 40 home runs and drives in 120. But, you know, he does so many good things out there. If you look at his career, he's had difficult second halves many times. And I think a lot of it is because of the fact that managers, including Joe Maddon, do not want to put him on the bench regardless of anything, even though he could probably use a day off every couple of weeks and maybe make it at 150 games played or 147 games played to get the optimum out of him. But he is just so valuable, and he has so many good at-bats, even when he's not hitting home runs, that, you know, he is the key to that offense.
Bruce, Nick Castellanos hit another home run earlier in the day on the Lawrence Holmes show. He broke down, kind of teared up when he heard what Joe Maddon had to say about him. Then before the game, he held court and was philosophical about why he says happy opening day to Maddon. He has been a guy that has created a stir and had an impact. Can you remember a position player traded to the Cubs at the deadline who's had this big of an impact this quickly on the season?
You know, probably not. I mean, you know, you think back
Chapman.
To some of those years. Yeah, I mean,
Murph.
Yeah, I mean, Murphy did for the first 10 games last year. You're right, Mike. He was impactful before he got hurt. But if you go back, you know, to, you know, the Kenny Loftons and the people like that that came in and helped lead the team to the playoffs, you know, back in 2003 and
Ramirez,
some of those
Thomas
people.
Ramirez, yeah.
Yeah, Ramirez. But I would say that, you know, Castellanos, more than just the numbers itself, you know, you guys watched the game for so many years. How about the energy that he just brings to the team? You know, the way he hustles. We were led to believe, and I've watched him play against the White Sox for, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years.
Right.
We were led to believe that he was a deficient outfielder and kind of plodding, and he's nothing like that at all. I mean, he's not going to be a gold glover out there, but he has added energy on offense, energy on defense, brought that spirit to the team that I think was missing. You know, I think there was some – there was an energy level and a tick missing for the Cubs, and he's kind of brought that. That doesn't mean they haven't still struggled with their offense, you know, on the road especially, but nonetheless, it's been more than a breath of fresh air. He's just been an energy provider for the Cubs.
Bruce, when you talk about a guy like that, and he has been a great energy provider, do you think about him in the long term? Is it possible, or are there too many other things they have to do in the offseason to get to him?
Well, Mike, tell me what the makeup of the 2020 team is, and right. I'll give you a better idea. I mean, I don't know that. You're going to go into a year where, you know, $60 million are coming off of the budget, okay, the payroll. You know, Zobrist is going to be gone. Hamels likely is gone. You have also the situation where you have John Lester and Jose Quintana in the last year of their contracts. So where is your money going to go? Is it going to go toward a hitter like Castellanos? Will you have enough money to get Castellanos and go after a Cole as well? With the new TV station starting for the Cubs in February, does Mr. Ricketts understand and tell Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, you know what, spend what you have to spend because we need those 4 million people out there to buy Cub baseball on our new network. So go ahead and put the pedal to the metal and just go ahead and sign what you have to. That's a possibility because you're talking about the addition of $160 million, most likely, when you talk about that new TV network for the Cubs and the 4 million people out there that they're looking to add to this unique TV situation that they're putting out there. So from that perspective, guys, I can't tell you if Castellanos is A, B, C, D on their list of additions that they need. All we know is he's made a nice impression out there. Do you want to sign him? I'm sure you probably will, but again, priorities.
Also, who's the manager? I mean, that would be a big factor into maybe what he's thinking, too, going into free agency. Bruce, I wanted to ask you about one guy the Cubs did not sign. Billy Hamilton was DFA'd by the Royals. He ends up landing with the Braves. Were the Cubs ever in on him? Did he make any sense at all to pursue?
Yeah, they were looking at him, but they didn't want to pay the rest of the salary. So it got to them, you know, it goes in reverse order through your leagues. So it got to them. They were hoping it got by two more people. All it was Atlanta and the Dodgers for best record. And then he would have been a total free agent. They could have offered what they wanted to. Instead, Atlanta, after losing Ender and Ciarte, said, we need a speed guy. We need a center field guy to solidify us. We can't count on Inciarte. We're going to pay the rest of that salary. So they put the claim in, they're paying the rest, and the rest is now history for the Cubs. But they were certainly interested. I thought he fit on multiple levels, especially on defense and the speed that he adds at the end of the game to help you win a ball game and disrupt the other team's defense.
Bruce, we heard a very forthright Ricky Renteria yesterday when asked about his lineup. And
if they don't like it, I don't really give a
And we don't usually hear him like that, but it was interesting. He talked about the sabermetrics and sabermetricians not liking him, and that was his response to them. But he also said he takes the numbers into account, but he takes everything into account. You know, we don't really judge him the same way as we do Joe Madden. We're not sitting around looking at every move and trying to figure out if he deserves to be there or not. It's a different situation with the White Sox and the position they're in. What is the long-term future of Ricky? Do they still love him? Is he still okay? If Madden became available, would the White Sox be interested? What's your take on the Ricky Renteria situation?
I don't think, guys, he's much different than Joe Madden. I mean, Joe Madden might have a different way that he approaches the sabermetrics and hearing about lineups and hearing about breakdowns, but he's still an old school guy when it comes to going with his gut on things and working things into lineups that he wants to work into. But Renteria is all about winning baseball games the way that he was brought up in the game. And you notice how often he bunts early in a ball game to try to get one run. A lot of people don't like that. They think that's 1980s baseball. And they don't think that's going to hold up in the 2019. But nonetheless, Renteria has laid the gauntlet down. There's no question about the fact that he will accept numbers, but he's going to go by his gut. And if Mr. Reinsdorf, Williams, and Hahn don't believe that that's the way they want to go, down the line they'll get another manager. But I think it's refreshing to hear from a manager tell you flat out, whether you like it or not, exactly how he feels about the situation and who he is. And I think Renteria has done that.
Well, I think it's refreshing too, Bruce, and I love it. But I do wonder what Rick Hahn thinks of it, because we know Ricky's got a contract through next season. I don't know beyond that, because they announced that extension he signed privately last off season. But do you think that when Ricky says stuff like that, Rick Hahn is hearing that and saying, yeah, okay, that's my manager? Or is he saying, well, you know, we really wish he would take some of this information a little more seriously than he does?
When you get Robert up here next year, or maybe late this year, you know, who knows? Everybody's wishing for that. And you have five or six guys that you are potentially the dominant players on your team going forward for the next 6 or 7 years. Then you'll have a better idea how Hahn and Williams feel about Renteria and how he handles them. You know, if they don't use the metrics at that point and they feel they're not getting the most out of their players, there might be more than just conversation. There might be, you know, eventually a change in manager. But for now, they are very pleased by the way this team has been developed. When he, you know, and how many people, all of us in the media, as soon as Ricky took over and we talked about the fact that here's a guy to help development, help the young guys get their confidence, build them up like he did the 1 year with the Cubs in 2014. But nobody knew, and the White Sox are no different, how he would be with a contending team, a team that's ready to win. And I think next year is going to be the key, and will tell you exactly whether Ricky Renteria is their manager for the next 5, 6, or 7 years, once they have the talent in place, once they're considered competitive with Minnesota and Cleveland in that division.
And just out of curiosity, I mean, we keep hearing players talk about how they're bound for the playoffs next year. Do you think the majority of the moves they make in the offseason will be bringing guys up, or will they go out and do something? And how ambitious are they?
I think they're very ambitious. And, you know, you saw, you know, a flash of that with Machado last year, and eventually the number that they got to offer him. I think they're going to add a pitcher at least, or two. Will they start trading young players to bring in veterans? Will the free agent market be out there? Will they spend $150 million on Cole? Those are some of the things that we're going to watch in the offseason here to see if the White Sox believe that they're ready to contend in 2020. You know, the position players are getting there. I mean, you're talking about real talent, all-star talent for the Chicago White Sox. But right now, you look at their lineup, and if Abreu doesn't come back, you still only have three guys, you know, in there at this point that are, you know, next-year type guys. Once Moncada comes back, and you know, once you add Robert, you know, then you have a different feel for this team. So is it 2020, guys? We'll find out how they look at the offseason and how they add.
Great stuff, Bruce. Appreciate it as always, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, guys. You have a great week.
That is Bruce Levine, the Scores baseball expert. We should let you know we are broadcasting from the Hyundai Score Studios. Test drive a new Hyundai. Get a $50 reward card. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.